Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim was not even 30 years old when he gave his life while attempting to reach a fierce Indian tribe. What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
The Lord Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you on this Friday about a matter that was written to me in a letter from a lady some time ago, and I read that letter on the air. It was a letter from a woman whose husband had hurt her very deeply. He had made some very nasty remarks about her anatomy, and she wanted to know what she should do. Well, I wrote back, and I mentioned her letter on the air, and I got a lot of letters from people who told me what the husband ought to do. Now, you know, I didn't really have any difficulty knowing what the husband ought to do, and I think most of the wives, and probably even most of the husbands that were listening, wouldn't have any trouble figuring out what the husband should have done in a case like that. In the first place, he should have kept his mouth shut, shouldn't he? I mean, there was absolutely no call for a man to make nasty remarks like that about something that his wife couldn't help at all, had absolutely nothing to do with anything that she could have done anything about. There are some things about our anatomies that we can do something about. And the thing that bothers my husband the most is that I don't stand up straight enough. And he's always telling me, "You're slouching." Well, I hate to tell you that everybody I've ever lived with has been telling me that. And I know that it is something that I can and must and ought to do something about, and it does ruin my appearance. But this man was talking about things over which the woman had no control whatsoever, so of course he should not have made those remarks. And when I got all these letters from people who were angry at me because I hadn't said what the husband ought to do, I just want to say that the question was from the wife. The question was from the wife. She wanted to know, what should I do? And so I wrote back and told her just what you would know that I would tell somebody. I can't solve her problem. I can't tell her to go and tear strips off her husband because he was nasty to her. I can only speak about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How are we supposed to learn those qualities if not in the difficult times, in the times when somebody does sin against us? That is the very place where the Spirit of God wants to work those fruits in you and me. Now, I don't remember what I wrote to the lady exactly, but most of the letters I get which tell me problems which are far beyond me to solve, I simply write back with encouragement, trying to hand that person over to God. It's not Elizabeth Elliot that is their Savior. It's Jesus Christ. I have nothing to tell you but what I find in the old book, the ancient book, and nothing that's true is new. It's all in there. Sometimes I may give you an opinion. Maybe I can think of some little practical thing that you can do which is not specified in the Scripture. But what I want to talk about today is the letters that I got from men. I was tickled to death to receive two letters from men who had heard that program. I'm going to read them to you. The first was from a single man. He said, "I really appreciate your ministry and the way the Lord has used you through both Gateway to Joy and the books you have authored. I just really like your honesty, sincerity, and commitment. I caught a recent Gateway to Joy where you were relating how your husband, Jim, wanted a dark-haired, dark-complexioned, athletic extrovert, but he got a light-haired, light-complexioned, non-athletic introvert. Wow. You have no idea how that takes pressure off me as a man. It encourages me that a man can be truly and deeply satisfied with a woman of God's choosing, even if she's not Miss Universe. As you know, men are usually intensely visually oriented. I know I am, he says. And I tend to have this picture, perfect idea of the best woman for them. And if we can't fulfill the ideal, taking into account the way we as men and women are conditioned in today's sexually explicit world, we must be in vogue society, then we set ourselves up for real disappointment and disillusionment, constantly seeking and never finding that, quote, perfect woman, unquote. I just thank God that his thoughts are not our thoughts, Steve writes, and his ways are not our ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. Thanks again, and God bless. Well, thank you, Steve, for that letter, and I hope that some other single men who perhaps have been stalling around waiting for that perfect 10 to come along, that you will take a lesson from Steve. Realize that it's not the outward appearance that matters the most, even though that is the only thing that we can look upon. God is the one who looks on the heart, and that's why it is of paramount importance that you lift up your list to God, surrender it to him, and say, Lord, I'll take the woman that you choose for me. You know far better than I do what I need. I do believe that that's the way to a truly happy marriage. You must accept God's choice for you. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing that truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice with him. Well, I got another letter from a man whose name I couldn't pronounce. I wrote to him and said, may I please have permission to use your letter, and please tell me how to pronounce your name. He writes, I'm very flattered that you're interested in using my letter. Of course you may. The name is Kajanovsky. Well, I hope I've read your pronunciation right, George, but thank you. Or he says, as Americanized, it's Korzanowski. And he says, since neither my wife nor I get to listen every day, is there any chance you could let us know ahead of time when you plan to use this program so we can arrange to tape it if it's on an off day? And he signs it, thanks, serving the master, George K. Well, let me read you George's letter. He says, thank you very much for being willing to put Gateway to Joy on the air. I'm sure it's a lot more work than most of us realize. Both my wife and I listen when we can. Regarding the program today, the woman who wrote in about her husband complaining about her looks, I'm sorry to have to write this letter, but that woman's letter made me boil. First of all, who does her husband think he is, complaining about his wife's anatomy? Has he ever won a Mr. Universe contest? Could he be less than perfect in any way? Is he so great-looking and in such perfect physical condition that women stop to stare at him in public? Could he make a living as a model or a movie star hunk? What kind of nut is he? As you pointed out in the broadcast, he knew what his wife looked like before he married her. If he was so shallow that her looks matter that much to him, why did he marry her to begin with? Would this same man shop for a car by its color? I doubt it. He'd look at the cost and how well it runs. He'd make sure it has an engine and that it ran smoothly. If he shopped for a car the way he got married, evidently I could sell this guy a car that was pretty and shiny, even if it stalled at every stoplight, used a quart of oil a week, and burned gas like a bus. I'm reading a letter now. Let no one think that this is Elizabeth Elliot talking. I'm reading a letter from George, what's your name here, George Korzanowski or Kajanovsky. He goes on to say, my wife may not be the most physically perfect female on the planet, but she is the most beautiful woman in the world. Well, I sure do hope George's wife is listening. She's a terrific lover. She cares for me and our children. She loves God, and she tries to help everyone she can. She has stood by me through some very, very rough times financially, with hardly a word of complaint. Besides, if we were to make lists of physical imperfections, mine would be a lot longer than hers. She puts up with me when I'm sloppy. She laughs at my jokes, even when they're old, and kisses like a volcano. And we've been married 18 years. I tell her she's beautiful at least once a day, and I mean it with all my heart. I don't ever look at other women. I don't need to. And besides, even if I did, I'm no prize, and I'm not conceited enough to think I am. Well, I hope this letter doesn't sound too angry, but to tell the truth, I feel better having written it. The Lord be with all of you at Gateway to Joy, and with Lars. Well, George, I showed your letter to Lars, and I do thank you, and I think there are some men out there that are going to identify with everything you said. And I hope they will identify, especially with, I tell her she's beautiful at least once a day. Maybe they haven't thought about doing that. This would be a great time to start. And regarding all matters where others are treating us in a way that's painful, or even perhaps wrong, why not just get quiet before the Lord, spread out the whole matter before Him in prayer, and ask Him to help you to see it in His light, and to look at it as He looks at it, in the light of His presence. It is amazing what a different perspective that is. Lift the thing up. It helps me to get down on my knees and literally lift my hands up in prayer, holding this thing that the person has done or said that hurt me into the presence of God. Lord, how does this look to you? Was it such a big deal? Should I have taken it so personally? Why am I so thin-skinned, Lord? Just help me to let this thing run off my back like water off a duck. The presence of God is a clear place, a shining place, where things take on a different perspective, where shadows can turn into sunshine, and where His will be shown to the heart that is prepared to obey it.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.